This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our next topic is relationship advice, and I know there's plenty of you guys in here that was waiting for this time, so I would like to welcome Sheikh Abdi Bari Yahya. JazakAllah, Sheikh.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فهو المهتد وما يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد I would like to start this talk with a love story. Not any love story, but it's a love story from the Quran. A beautiful love story of a man who was fleeing from oppression and from problems that he had actually in his homeland where he was born. And that man is Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. He fled Egypt. Of course, he was accused of killing someone. And he was trying to protect one of the Bani Israel. And he was so strong that when he punched him, he knocked him out. I'm not talking about knocking him out. He was out, never to wake up again in this world. And so he was wanted. And he was fleeing from Fir'aun and his soldiers. And he says, قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh Allah, a man who was raised. Raised by whom? Raised by one of the best women of all time. One of the best women of all times. She was no other than the wife of Fir'aun himself. The wife of Fir'aun himself, one of the best of the women in this world, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. So this was, of course, someone who was raised with noble qualities and attributes. Because as I mentioned, he was raised by one of the best of all time. So he says, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and supplicating to Allah as anyone who has faith and strong and iman would do. They always return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of need. Rabbi najini min al-qawmi al-zalimin. Oh my Lord, save me and protect me from a people who are oppressive. ولما توجه تلقاء مدين قال and then he heads towards Madian. He crosses the Sinai Peninsula, the desert, and he arrives in an area, Madian. And Madian at that time was a green, luscious, as they used to mention, it was a beautiful area of greenery, with valleys up and down. It's just a beautiful place. So the scenery and the setting is also very beautiful and very romantic. The setting of this story. So he heads towards Madian and he says, Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani sawa as-sabil. I hope that my Lord will guide me to the right path, to the straight path. And then he arrives in Madian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. He arrives at Madian and he sees a group of men. He sees a group of men. And what kind of men are these? These are rowdy men. And these are people, as we will find out later on, that don't have the type of character and manners that a man should have, and men should have. Because a real man, when he sees a woman in distress, he always is there for to help her. Sincerely helping her, not asking for anything. But these groups of men, this group of men, they were taking water for their flocks, watering their flocks. وَجَدَ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ رَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. So he also, Prophet Musa sees these men, but he also sees two women who stay afar from them, who are far from these rowdy men. And so Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he sees them, he sees that they, you know, he sees that, you know, nobody's taking care of them, nobody's helping them. Everyone is just doing their own thing. They're carrying the big cover, you know, to try to get water for their flock. And then Prophet Musa alayhi salam sees these two women. He says, "Qala ma khatbukuma?" And he says, "What's the problem that you have here? What's going on? Like, why are you here and you know, not taking care of your flock?" And so he says, so they say to him, "Qalata la nasqi hatta yusdir ar-ri'a." He says to, they say, the two women, they say to him, like, we can't go forward and water our flock until the woman leave, until the men leave. So you know what the men do? You know what they do? The men, they cover up. They cover up the cover of the well. And this is a huge piece of, a huge heavy piece that they used to cover the well with. And it used to take 10 people to take it off. And the women who would go, they would just take the water that was spilt and left over for their flock. Like, these men would not, every single day this is repeated, and they don't even help these two women. And the two women, they say that we're unable to, we have to wait until everyone finishes, and whatever's left over, then we get whatever's left over. وَأَبُونَ شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. And where are the men in your family then? Why do you have to be out here taking care of your flock and having to do so much work and so heavy, such heavy work? And so they say, but our father is very old. Our father is very old. And so Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he doesn't chit-chat and talk to them any more than what he needs to. And this shows his characteristics. And so he goes, and by himself, he's able to lift that cover by himself when only 10 people would be able to do so. See how strong he was. And then when he finishes helping them, you know, and of course they're able to get water easily because they're using from the well instead of just leftovers, which would take so much longer. So they're able to finish watering their flock and providing water for their flock much more quickly. And so they arrive home earlier than usual to their father. And then Prophet Musa alayhi salam doesn't follow them. "Hey, what's going on? You know, I helped you. What's good?" And he's in need of help. He's in a foreign land. He has nothing with him. He has nothing with him. He's homeless right now. He has no home, nothing to eat. He's by himself in a strange land. But he returns back and sits under the tree. And who does he turn to? He has no one. But he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have Allah, Allah is always enough for you. This is a lesson here. Be strong. Be the best that you can be. Don't go around doing things that are haram and turn to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there for you. And so he says, "Rabbi inni lima anzalt." Oh my Lord, from where I have been, where I am right now, I am surely sending ilayya min khayrin faqir. I am surely greatly in need of whatever you can send my way. I'm in need of anything that you can, any goodness that you can send me my way. After all, he has nothing. He has nobody. He has no place to stay. He has no provisions at all whatsoever. And as a result of this dua, and a result of this supplication and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Prophet Musa a job. He was unemployed, right? Alone in a foreign land, unemployed. He has a job and a wife. As a result of this, he will have a job and a wife. But we will see the characteristics from this story to find out how we, you know, how do you, what do you look for in a person when you want to get married? What do you look for in a marriage? You know, we speak about relationship between you and your spouse, and also before you get married, what should you look for, and what kinds of things that we can, what are some of the things we can do? We can learn from Prophet Musa alayhi salam and the daughters of Shu'aib in this story. First and foremost, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, as we mentioned, he was strong and yet he was also very helpful. And so the father, after seeing that their daughter, after seeing that his daughters had returned home early, he said, "Well, what happened? Why were you able to return so early?" And so he tells them of what they tell him of what happened between between them and Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And so Shu'aib, the father, tells their daughter to go back and bring him over here. And you know, maybe he needs whatever he needs, and we can pay him back for what he did in helping you, in helping us. And so they both, so one of them goes back to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And when she goes back to Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is another benefit here of what you should be looking for, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا, one of them comes, تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا, walking towards him bashfully. One of the characteristics of faith of iman is shyness, being shy. That shyness is very, very, it's part of our faith and part of iman. And this is one of the most noble characteristics of a person. And you know, when we speak about shyness, who do we think about? Most of us, we think about women, right? But it's not just for women. It's for men also, and especially men, because the most shy of this ummah is who? It wasn't a woman. The most shy of this ummah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, after the Messenger of Allah, of course. The Messenger of Allah was very bashful and shy, because it's a part of faith. But after him, who was it? It was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He was a man. So shyness isn't just for women. Bashfulness isn't just for women. It's for men also. And that's why when you're looking for a partner, a husband or a wife, it's one of the characteristics that you should be looking at. So if you see someone speaking and they are always using foul language, that's not part of shyness. Or when you see someone who is always, you might say, well, they're very outgoing, it's okay. But sometimes some of the things that they say, it's as if they have no shame. So look for someone, and one of the ways you can find out if someone is shy or not, is good in characteristics, is what they say, because what they say with their tongues is an interpretation of what's in their heart. And you want someone with a good heart. And so فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَا, not only was he shy and bashful, but Prophet Musa alayhi salam also was very shy and bashful. And he was he respected, when she came to him, he didn't say, "Okay, hey, what's up, girl? What you want?"
You know, and he didn't start making all these conversations. He only spoke with what he had to speak. And that's why, especially in the times that we are living in right now, with social media and so forth, if a brother is always texting you or sister is always texting you back and forth, and you're not shy of the speech that you're talking about and you're going back and forth, that's lacking in faith and shyness. If you want to do things correctly, then, you know, I'm not saying like you're not allowed to email a brother or a sister. No, you can. If you want to email a brother or a sister, you know, the person of the opposite gender, it's okay. But just make sure you CC it to her father also. Right? And if you are worried, right? If you're like, oh no, but that's not, why should I do that? Well, if you don't do that, maybe, I'm not saying that you have to, it's not haram to email someone, but if you, but the thing is, if you're ashamed of what you say are saying to her, and you're afraid, then maybe you shouldn't be saying those things. If you're ashamed of her father seeing that, then maybe you shouldn't. And if a man is not man enough, as I mentioned yesterday, if a man is not man enough to go directly to your father, then maybe he's not the man for you. And that's why you want to look for someone who is what? Someone who's strong and capable of taking care of you. Not someone who's lazy. Not someone who's lazy. And vice versa also, for the brothers and for the sisters. You have to have someone who is diligent, and look for someone who is diligent and they take care of. And also, one thing also, look for good sons and daughters. You see these two daughters? These were very, very good daughters. They took care of their father and they spoke to him very, in a kind way. If you look at the conversation, they're very kind, because when you have a good daughter, then inshallah, hopefully they will be good wives. And if they are good sons, right? If they're good sons, they're good to their parents, then inshallah they'll be good husbands also, hopefully, inshallah. They'll be good husbands also. Why? Because if they respect their parents, if they speak to their parents in the nicest of ways, then they're more likely to respect you also. But if they don't respect their parents, then what makes you think they're going to respect you and treat you in an honorable way? And that's why, these are just some of the things that you want to keep in mind if you want to get married. But remember, I said Prophet Musa alayhi salam was also very shy. He was also shy and bashful. And so, when the daughters came back, and Prophet Musa alayhi salam was with them, one of the daughters said, "Ya abat istajirhu, oh father, let's hire him. You know, we need help in the family. Why don't we hire him? Why?" And then she says, "Why? Because the best person that you can hire is one who is al-qawi, al-amin." She says, "Ya abati istajirhu, inna khayra man istajart al-qawi al-amin." The best person that you can hire is one who is strong and capable, and someone who is trustworthy. Someone who is amin, trustworthy and honest. And so the father then says, "Well, how do you know he's honest? Like, how do you know he's honest? And how do you know he's trustworthy?" And so then she tells him, Umar ibn Khattab, when he's narrating this hadith, when he's reciting these verses and he's explaining to the companions, he says, the father then says, "Well, how do you know that he's honest and righteous? How do you know he's honest and trustworthy? How do you know he's amin?" And so the daughter then says to her father, "Father, when we were walking back home, He walked in front of me. He walked in front of me. He didn't look at me. He said to me while he was walking in front of me, he said, 'I'm going to walk in front of you.'" Now if he walks in front of her, how does he know where to go? Like, he wouldn't know where to go, right? Because she is the one who knows where the house is. He's a foreigner. He doesn't know where he doesn't know the area. He doesn't know them. He doesn't know where they live. But he doesn't look, he doesn't speak. He doesn't say, "Hey girl, you know, just tell me where to go." Right? Just let me go. Yeah, tell me left or right, just say it, all right? No. Do you know what he says to her? He doesn't even want to hear her voice. He just wants, you know, give me some indication. So he says, take some pebbles with you. And when you see that there's an area, when you see that I need to turn left or right, toss the pebble in that direction. So she's behind him. If he's walking and he needs to turn right, hey, she's just going to toss a pebble. Prophet Musa alayhi salam is not going to go, "Hey girl, where you want me to go?" Like, no. No. He doesn't sit next to her or in front of her. Look at the shyness. He's not saying, "Hey girl, tell me where to go." Right? He's telling her, just toss it to the right or to the left. So when she tosses it this way, then he will know to go that way. He doesn't need anything extra, anything more than that. Look how honest and shy and bashful Prophet Musa alayhi salam is. Look how honorable he is. This is the kind of people that you want as your spouse. People who are honest and trustworthy and shy. Because if they are not trustworthy before you get married to them, then what do you think is going to happen after you get married? Can you trust them? Can you trust them? They might be around the bushes looking for another person right away after a year or two. They get tired of you. You know what? Phone calls and text messages, just like they used to text you. How do you know they're going to stop doing that? They might continue. That's why you have to look for someone who, number one, who has taqwa. Right? And secondly, who has good characteristics, good character, good morals, and good manners. And so this is some of what we get from these verses, some lessons in this beautiful love story. And of course, he ends up marrying one of the daughters, right? And as a result of that, he has a family now, right? Remember, he's unemployed. He doesn't have a family. He's unemployed and he doesn't have a job. And as a result of his honesty and righteousness and piety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a job and gave him a wife. Gave him a job and gave him a wife. What's the lesson here? How did he get that? Because of his characteristics. Because she saw him. She saw what was in him. And so that's why this is something that in this society now, it's very, very important. It's very important for us when we're speaking about relationships and marriage and the likes. We, as Muslims, we have to make the halal easy. When you make the haram difficult, and when you make the halal easy, then you take care of the haram. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he said, "Ya ma'shar al-shabab, O youngsters, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. Whosoever is able to get married, then let them do so. Because it will be a protection for them." And when you get married, you have to try your very best, you know, to find someone of good moral and good character. Why? Because they will know you better than anyone else. Your secrets, your happiness and your sorrows. This is someone who you're going to be around with. And so that's why, make sure you ask the correct questions. But you know, no matter what you do, you won't know that person. You won't know that person. You have to put your trust in Allah. You do all that you can, but the most important thing is do not do anything that's haram. Because when you do anything, when you go at it the wrong way, then barakah is taken away from it. The help of Allah and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken from that relationship. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that you being together and the love that is between you and your spouse is not based on based on this and or based on that, but it's based on your obedience to Allah, because He says there is not two people who are together and then they are separated except that one or both of them have committed some sin. And so it's the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that causes these problems, and that's why you want to start everything off on the right foot. You want to start everything off on the right foot. And you want to look, if you want to look for Mr. Right, right? If you look for Mr. Right, then make sure that he is upon the deen. And make sure that you try your very best to find out his characteristics of how he is with his family, or how she is with her parents and her brothers and sisters and so forth. And because marriage will either give you wings to fly or lock you up in a cage to cry, right? But one of the most important things also when it comes to marriage is responsibility. Marriage is when responsibility becomes your responsibility. And that's why after the first few months of marriage, most couples will then realize that love does not increase by gazing into each other's eyes all day. Like, you get to a point, you know, you get marriage does not, or love does not increase by gazing to each other's eyes all day. It increases with our gaze focused on common goals and taking care of responsibilities. Most people in this society, you know, when they say, hey, when they got married and they lived happily ever after. What is happily ever after? Happily ever after is not when you get married. Happily ever after is when the both of you set foot in Jannah together. That's happily ever after. And that's why you have to look for someone who will help you in that matter. And you have to have that same goal. And that goal is what? That goal is the worship of Allah. It's the pleasure of Allah. No matter what you're doing, you have to look to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say that marriage is an institution. What kind of institution is it? Well, it depends on who you marry. But you know, if you marry the right person, it's one of the greatest blessings of this world. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ad-dunya mata'a." This dunya is full of pleasures. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا الزَّوْجَةَ الصَّالِحَةَ. And the best of the pleasurable things of this world is a pious wife. Meaning, the most pleasurable things of this world is a pious spouse, a righteous husband who takes care of you and helps you and vice versa. And so, when you're looking to get married, first and foremost, have the correct intentions. Have the correct intentions and continue to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that marriage, you're doing so to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you cannot please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which is displeasing to Allah. You have to have the right intentions, and your intention should be to please Allah, to keep you away from haram. And if you're trying to say, okay, I want to get married to keep myself from haram, then why are you doing it through the haram method? You cannot please Allah with that which is displeasing to Him. The method also has to be pleasing to Allah. And that's why you have to stay away from all of these things that are haram, that may lead to, you know, greater haram. And there's always an alternative to that which is halal. And we have to stick to that. And as I mentioned yesterday, you have to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do all that you can. Yes, you do all that you can. And the fathers also, and mothers here, or you send them a message, send messages to them also, to the parents, that, you know, you have to make it easy for your children. Because if you make it difficult for them, then you make the halal difficult, then the haram becomes easy. The haram becomes easy. But at the same time, as I mentioned, to review it a little bit, that these are responsibilities. And that's why, brothers, if you are thinking about getting married, and you don't even know how to clean your own room. You don't even do your own laundry. You don't even do any of these things yet. Then don't expect that after you get married, don't expect all of these things to be taken care of for you, because your wife is not just a mother with perks. No. These are responsibilities also, and sisters alike. You have to take full responsibility, do all that you can to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to help each other in whatever we can to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, if you want to marry someone with a good heart, as I mentioned also, just to review again, listen to what spews from his or her mouth. Because the content of the heart is expressed through the mouth of an individual. And if a person has a foul mouth, it's only expressing the foulness of the individual's heart. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, a person's faith will not be upright unless his heart is upright. And his heart will not be upright unless his tongue is upright. So watch also, don't just look at the person's prayers only, but also look for what spews from their mouths, and ask and consult with the people that know them, and seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the best of this world and the hereafter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefits us, and benefit us from that which He has taught us. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Jazakallah, Sheikh Abdul Bari. Oh, that was a brilliant talk and very well anticipated, mashallah.